is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College football week zero is here. NFL preseason nearing its end and roster cut down day approaching. I don't know about you guys, but I feel in football shape as we welcome you into this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Let's get it going alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coast to coast as always. I'm live in downtown Las Vegas at the world's largest sports book inside Circa Resort and Casino. And Michael, back at your home office out there in Jersey. Not the home office, but the office. Back at home, though, for the first time in a while. How's it feel to be back?
Feels good. Yeah, it feels good. It was here yesterday and Ben Wilson was in, so we had a good conversation, but it is, we are in a football state of mind. There's no question. And I think that's a good thing, right? I mean, we've got college football zero. Why zero? I have no idea. We'll figure that out at one day. But we're on the road. I mean, we're getting places. We got college, pro. It's all good. We even have high school. Bergen Catholic playing IMG here in Ocean City on the beach. I mean, it can't get any better than this,
yes.
Stormy.
The wait is over. We are here. It's awesome. And we've got a jam-packed show for you today over the course of the next 2 hours. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll hit the headlines with news or noise. We'll also have Thomas Gable, sportsbook director at the Borgata in Atlantic City, in his usual Monday spot, looking ahead to this third and final week in the preseason, plus why Georgia Tech is taking so much action in the marquee week zero college football game in Dublin against Florida State. In hour two, we got the latest edition of What's on Michael's Mind and a laundry list of appointments for Michael in Step Into My Office. But where we are going to start, and coincidentally, one of these players is actually in Step Into My Office later, so maybe this is a long tease, but where we're going to start is reaction to the preseason yesterday and a quarterback announcement that we finally have. The Las Vegas Raiders have elected to go with Gardner Minshew as the starting quarterback, Michael. And listen, I know it was a 10 p.m. Eastern time kickoff this weekend, so you might not have watched it live. Maybe you were just watching the highlights, and let's use that term, highlights, pretty loosely here. But here's my question to you about this, Michael. Was this the worst game in NFL history to be a quarterback clinching job here? Like, take me through this.
Well, I mean, look, I think highlight is a great word to use this time of the year, because I think highlights can be very misleading.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams' highlights didn't really reflect the game. Mm. And in this game that you're referring to, the Cowboys and the Raiders, there were no highlights. What's more alarming about this game for Raider fans is they had their ones out there against the Cowboys twos and couldn't do anything. That was what's alarming. And so when you saw Antonio Pierce to say, well, I've got to get back and meet with the decision makers to talk about who's going to be the starter, who are the decision makers? Like, you know, you've had all these practices. You've had all this time. You're working on things. Look, I think the great John Madden said it, and we'll keep repeating it because it's so true. When you think you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any, and they don't have a quarterback. Like, when do they call Ryan Tannehill, Stormy? When do they make that phone call? When does Pittsburgh call Ryan Tannehill? They don't have a quarterback. I know Justin Fields could win MVP this year. I get that. I understand it, and we'll go for that. But when do they make that call? And in fairness to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, the offensive line was atrocious in Pittsburgh. But that being said, there was no rhythm or continuity. And I think in Las Vegas, who cares if they name Aiden the starter or Gardner the starter? They're both going to play because they're both not good enough. Mm.
Yeah, there was no flow, did not look comfortable. For as bad as Minshew was, then Aiden O'Connell throws the pick six and you're like, okay. Before we get too deep into this, let's hear straight from the horse's mouth and Antonio Pierce, who ultimately is the guy who is making this decision. After the game on Saturday, sounded like a defeated man. Here's AP.
I mean, everything. I mean, you can't take one, you can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it, we'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced and as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around, let these guys showcase what they can do, and we'll talk about it.
Hello. In AP's mind, Michael, I feel like he's still just whirling through his head. Gosh dang it. How did the Falcons take Michael Penix Jr. in the top 10 and we couldn't get him? Like that's got to be how he's feeling right now, because it's a tough look so far here in the preseason that this Raiders team, who has a quarterback battle for who's going to be the starting guy, gets bet up to a 7.5-point favorite in this game against the Cowboys. They end up with 12 points on the board, and there's no real winner here in what we saw on the field.
No, and they need a quarterback. I mean, and that's the problem. I mean, it goes back to, look, Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, wanted to get rid of Derek Carr for, just didn't think it was good enough. And Gruden resisted it because he didn't have an answer to the question, well, who do we replace him with? Josh McDaniels went with 1 year and then decided, okay, let's replace him. But we don't have an answer. The answer was supposed to be Jarrett Stidham, and then they let Stidham sign with the Denver Broncos, which made no sense at all. So this is an issue. This is an issue going on for the Raiders. You put Michael Penix and his ability on this Raider team with Tucker running those routes on the outside and Jacoby Myers running inside and whatever they get out of Devontae Adams. I mean, and then these two tight ends. But right now this offense is going to grind to a halt here. It's going to be very difficult for them to move, and then it's going to highlight their weak areas, which is their offensive line. Colton Miller's still not healthy. They have all these centers on the team. They don't have a true two guards. So they play a bunch of centers trying to play guard, which isn't good enough. And I think that's going to just keep going back and forth. They couldn't run the ball on the Cowboys. I mean, Stormy, this is the Cowboys played Julia. I mean, they got Phillips from the Buffalo Bills 3 days ago, and he was in the starting lineup. He was in the starting lineup. He went in the game. And, you know, and so, like, what are we doing?
No.
You know, we can't run the ball against the backups of the Cowboys.
Yeah, it was a tough look. 27-12, the final score there in Dallas. By the way, from the Cowboys side of things, Trey Lance, I know he's the guy I love to hate on, did look more comfortable at least and said as much after the game. The offensive line, a good reminder for people that have interest in Dallas this year, they are going to have two rookies up front on that offensive line, one of which necessity by injury. That's going to be Tyler Guyton. Cooper Beebe's going to be under center. I'm going to be the center there. The highlight of the game, though, to me, Michael, is Brandon Aubrey with this 66-yard field goal before the half. Wow. How about that?
I mean, look, the Cowboys special teams with Aubrey and Nixon and Turpin, I mean, returning kicks and Aubrey kicking field goals, they're dynamic. I mean, this is a guy that was the, you know, he doesn't even play in college. He's playing soccer at Notre Dame. Then he goes to the Birmingham Stallions. I'm sure you covered him. Yeah. But, I mean, this is remarkable. This guy's got an unbelievable leg. He's dead center with his kicks. You know, they're a good team in the kicking game. There's no question. Like, nobody wants to punt the ball to Turpin. Like, he's too good at that area. So, for me, I think when you look at the team, the Cowboys have got to get this offense, and they've got to play from in front. That's going to be critical.
Michael, more electric moment, that walk-off kick in the first half, or Patrick Mahomes and the behind-the-back pass that wasn't planned. Like, I know that it's preseason, but I still can't believe that was done in a game.
I can't either. I mean, I watched that, you know, of course we saw that highlight 1,000 times, and it's just, you know, it's the thing that we can't really detect as scouts, as personnel guys, is this ability to have instincts to play. It's like, why is Magic Johnson a great passer? I can't explain it. He's got instincts. He sees things that I can't. You know, why are some point guards good? Why are some that don't transition to play the point very well? It's instincts. It's the same thing at the quarterback position. It's just natural. It just comes to him. And his ability to throw the ball. I mean, you see the drills he does. I mean, this summer I watched on Twitter, they had him, they basically made him run around in a circle so he got dizzy. They blindfolded him and then made him throw the ball.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And as much as I, as a 49ers fan, cannot stand the Kansas City Chiefs, what they've done over the course of the last handful of years, it's fun to see the back and forth and the relationship that Mahomes and Kelsey has. Mahomes saying on the, hey, you know, Kelsey ran the wrong route, so just trying to make something happen. Travis Kelsey making fun of his voice, saying I couldn't understand what Mahomes was saying. And it's just, it's good back and forth. That final, by the way, so Chiefs lose to the Lions 24-23, despite getting steamed up from 3.5-point favorites all the way to 9 after Andy Reid said that the starters were going to play at least a half in this spot. And hey, we told you on the show Friday, Matt Brown and I, when we were talking, that this was a game where you're one going to take first quarter, maybe first half, but even the first half doesn't get there. I want to say it was around 4.5-point favorites there, and they only had a 4-point lead at halftime. This was one of the few overs this preseason, Michael. We have had a crazy run on preseason unders, 26 and 7 through 2 weeks. The best two-week start in the preseason in 20 years. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on with Thomas Gable. But let's go back to that other quarterback controversy you talked about in Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson struggled in his preseason debut Saturday against the Bills, sacked three times on 13 dropbacks, did complete 8 of 10 passes, but just 47 yards, and Pittsburgh punted four times on those five drives. The fifth was a missed field goal. Fields, meanwhile, recovered from his tough week one performance, 11 to 17 for 92 yards, sacked just once, also ran it eight times for 42 yards. Thoughts there?
Well, I think both quarterbacks were not very good. What's concerning about Russell Wilson is we've seen this decline. We've seen this inability to have eye level up the field. And it was evident in this game. Now, look, in fairness, he got no protection. He got a lot of pressure. Buffalo decided they were coming to play. I think Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Bills, said, fellas, go out there and you play a really good first quarter, first half, and you won't have to play week three, and we'll get into a regular routine. But you have to be worried about Wilson long term. You know he's not played well over the last two seasons, and this is an indication he's really rusty. Fields is exactly who we thought he was. You know, he's going to make some plays with his feet. If he has time and he can stare down the receiver, great. But naturally, in a rhythm offense, not going to happen. I mean, I think if I'm Arthur Smith, why aren't I calling Ryan Tannehill? Because Ryan Tannehill gives them a chance. Their defense was good. Now, look, Mitchell Trubisky started a quarterback. That wasn't very pretty either.
Well, and you know, Tannehill's sitting there waiting, hoping to get a call from somebody. You imagine somebody at some point is going to pick up that phone. It's 9-3 final. So the two guys that are competing to see what they can do to make this offense run in Pittsburgh combined for 3 points. Love to see that. We're going to hit our first break of the day here. We're just getting started on the Lombardi line. But when we come back, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa shared his thoughts, his truth on what it was like being coached by Brian Flores. We'll get Michael's reaction to that and a number of headlines around the National Football League in news or noise. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
I love this segment because it's so true. We see headlines each and every day, but what's actually newsworthy? We've got a couple here that make for interesting conversation, Michael, and I think this first one is news, but you tell me. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa did not hold back in an interview with Dan Levitard this week when asked about the differences of being coached by his former head coach and Brian Flores compared to now in his time under Mike McDaniel. Take a listen to this.
Explain to us the difference in practical terms between having a coach who did believe in you the way that he did and the difference between that and what was happening with Flores.
Yeah, well, to put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
How'd you unpack that, Michael? News or noise?
Oh, that's definitely news. I mean, look, anytime a player is that openly blunt about a coach, and we know that there was conflict between the two. I think that, you know, Tua's play there was different. He struggled. He wasn't playing well. But I think what Tua is saying is Brian crossed the line between coaching and criticism. One of the things you have to be able to do in coaching is you have to coach players. But when the player hears it as criticism, then it becomes a real problem. And that's the issue. And so for me, this is news. And I think Brian Flores is going to get asked about it today. It's not going to go away. I know Brian is a really good coach. I've watched him work. I've watched him coach, but as a head coach, things change. And I think ultimately you've got to be, he's going to have to address this, and he's going to have to, if he gets an opportunity to coach again, he's going to have to let people know. Now, you know, Tua's also got to be not as sensitive as he was, but when he says every day, you know, I don't know, my son was down there. My son was down there for 1 year with Brian Flores, not the second year when Tua came in. So, but look, you know, somebody's got to lead the team and be demanding. I get that. But there also has to be positive reinforcement.
For sure. And that's the thing, is I think there's a difference between being a demanding and constructively criticizing people as a head coach versus just like straight criticism and saying you don't deserve to be here. And so I think in addition to Mike McDaniel's system, just the confidence it sounds like he's instilled into Tua Tagovailoa has made a big difference. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, by the way, did say this week that if this group stays healthy, he thinks they can be a Super Bowl contender, 25-1 here at Circa to win it all. A ticket, by the way, our own Paulie Howard now has in pocket, compliments of the Blackjack Invitational here where you get a Super Bowl future.
I saw you in that. Don't go shy on that. You got yourself a ticket too, you little girl. Hey, you got one too there.
We're on to Cincinnati over here, if you know what I'm saying.
I can see that.
Tua Tagovailoa.
You can't hide that smile. Oh, no.
We can talk about that a little bit later. I am a little bit excited. Right, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Tua, though. Fifth shot on the board to repeat as the NFL's passing leader at 8-1. He's a 25-1 shot for the MVP. Another one here I wanted to ask you about, Michael. Rookie quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, two guys that were obviously drafted in the top 12 of this year's class. They are expected QB1s for their respective teams in the Broncos and Washington Commanders. Yet neither one of their head coaches have come out and officially said they are the guy who will be starting week one. Is that news or noise?
I don't think that's news. I mean, we've known all along that Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels are going to be the starter. And we've been telling people that since day one. Jaden Daniels is pretty obvious. They signed Marcus Mariota as the backup. Same thing with Bo Nix. I mean, we knew Bo Nix was, and we thought he would beat out Jarrett Stidham, and I'm sure he has. He's not willing to give him the job yet, but I don't see this as news. It is news because it's starting quarterback, but to me, it's more of a noise element because they've already been the starter. I think there's been no doubt. What would have been real news is if Bo Nix didn't play good. Mm. Now we got a story, because then every expert who said he's not a first-round pick would be selling, see, I told you so. But I think Sean Payton knows a hell of a lot more than most of those other experts.
Pretty good opinion on quarterbacks this preseason for Bo Nix. On his seven drives, he's led the Broncos to 30 team points, 77% completion, second best among 49 QBs with 20 plus attempts. If he is the day one starter, he'll be just the second rookie quarterback in Broncos history to start a season opener, second only to the great John Elway. Okay, how about in Rams country? Matthew Stafford practicing today, still TBD, dealing with a hamstring tightness, but Rams head coach Sean McVay maintains he is not concerned about Stafford's injury. Should he be, though, given Stafford's age and the offensive line he's playing behind Michael? Is this news or noise?
No, it's just noise. I mean, you know, he's not moving. He's not going to run. And he has to elude and move in short areas. But look, Stafford's not going for 12, 15 yards every carry. He might run a little bit to secure himself to make the throw. So, nah, this is a hamstring now. I wouldn't be that worried about it at all.
It's news for me as somebody who has the Rams to make the playoffs this year. I'm glad Sean's not concerned. This is what we need. We need positivity going into the season, Michael.
Yeah, I hear you, Tua. You want your positivity. Okay.
Come on now. Let's go back to one of these rookie quarterbacks, because Raheem Morris said Michael Penix Jr. for him has shown enough to this coaching staff. He's not going to dress the rest of the preseason. News or noise?
Oh, this is news. I mean, this is idiotic news, Stormy. This is idiotic news. All right, Patrick Mahomes is throwing behind-the-back passes. The preseason is good enough for him to play in. But for Michael Penix, who's played no time in the NFL, he doesn't need any more reps. Are you kidding me? All right, so now let's go through this, Stormy. I'd love to hear your commentary on this. Taylor Heinicke's the third-string quarterback, or maybe he's the second. He's taken all the reps in the preseason, at least most of them. All right, so say Kirk Cousins gets hurt on the sixth play of the Steeler game. Who's going in?
You would imagine
Michael Penix. Reps.
That's what I'm saying. It needs to be Michael Penix. That's your answer. That's
but
why you draft him.
Because he's got no reps. I mean, how does this make any sense to you?
Well, Michael, like, it's such a well-run organization. You know that.
They've won so many Super Bowls. It's ridiculous. And they, I'll tell you what they keep doing. They keep, I mean, they're amazing.
So good. The Falcons coming up.
On giving, Stormy.
Absolutely. Their week 3 preseason game against Jacksonville coming up on Friday. They are getting 7. Jags laying it total there, 35. Tyreek Hill, Michael. So I love this kind of stuff. Tyreek Hill recently said that he thinks that he can beat Olympic gold medalist Noah Lyles in a race. Lyles responds. He says that Tyreek Hill is just clout chasing. Quote, the man dodges smoke. I don't got time for that. If he's serious about it, if he's truly serious about it, and I'm not talking to you, just talking on the internet, you're actually coming to me, talking to my agent, saying, let's set something up. If you're serious about it, you'll see me on the track. Well, here comes Tyreek Hill again on X this weekend, officially challenging Lyles. He wrote, sign the contract and lock in that 50-yard race. News or noise, Michael? Tyreek Hill challenging the Olympic gold medalist.
It's noise because we have football season. We're in week 0 of this is, college.
It's fun, though. It's fun noise.
It's fun, but it's noise. I mean, who cares? Who cares? One thing I do know about Tyreek Hill, because I was around the 49ers when Ronaldo Nehemiah was on our team, who was an Olympic hurdler, 110 meter, could do it fast. But he couldn't play football fast. Tyreek Hill's speed on the track translates to the speed on the field. Mm.
Tyreek Hill, your favorite in the Offensive Player of the Year market at 7-1. Bet 100, win 700 if Tyreek Hill can come through and stay healthy all season long. Let's have one more here, Michael. We talked a lot about that Cowboys-Raiders game, and I mentioned that it was a better day for Trey Lance. Lance himself said he, quote, felt more comfortable against the Raiders. News or noise for someone that the Cowboys are trying to develop here under Dak Prescott?
Well, I think it's news. I do. I think he's played better. Look, I think he's not going to beat out Cooper Rush. I just don't see that. But I do think he's gotten better, and he's played better. But he's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League yet. I don't think he's going to be one anytime soon. You know, we keep trying to make him because of his draft status. But unfortunately, he hasn't been able to play there. He's a kid who hasn't played a lot of football, you know. And what we see in the National Football League is you got to play a lot. Bo Nix plays a lot. Right. He played a lot, had a lot of snaps. Caleb Williams had a lot of snaps. You got to play a lot. Michael Penix has had a lot of snaps in college football. So you got to play. And unfortunately, you know, Trey Lance has it. And this has been a good summer for him. But I don't know. To me, I don't see a ceiling. I see him as the level where he is right now. It's just the game moves a little too fast for him. He just doesn't play with anticipation.
That experience comp that you mentioned with Bo Nix was the first thing that came to my mind, because you think about what Trey Lance did in college. It was very limited action at North Dakota State. He comes into the league. He gets injured. He's been here for how many years now? But Bo Nix, most experienced quarterback in all of college football. He's stepping in and making it look easy, at least in the preseason. Okay, listen, I know. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. Fun nonetheless. Okay, when we come back, we're going to head behind the counter with Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Last week, we saw a hard push on preseason totals over, but unders are king. Why? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
I've got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now. Gardner Minshew, the 11:15 Pacific, 2:15 Eastern appointment is ready to go. So, Michael, Gardner Minshew, he's on his third team in 3 years. He was officially named by head coach Antonio Pierce as the starter in 2024 for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, how did he finish in his preseason game that cemented this opportunity? 10 of 21 passing, 95 yards, under 50% completions, less than 5 yards per attempt, had 5 drives resulting in just 3 points, and the tape was just as bad as the numbers. Now, AP didn't sound the most optimistic when he was reacting to that performance, but felt that this was the way to go to put the Raiders in the best opportunity to succeed. If you're talking to Gardner Minshew today, how are you advising him? What does he need to do to remain the starter all year long?
You know, Gardner, the one thing about football is it's a little bit like tennis. Tennis is a game where the opponent makes the mistake to lose. The victor rarely makes the play to win. And so what you have to do in assuming this job as the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders is not lose the game. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hand the ball off 70 plays, no. But you've got to take the profits. You've got to make good, accurate throws. You have to play within yourself. An incomplete or a check down is a good play. Punting with your punter is a really good play. Punting with your defense could be a really good play. So play within the framework of who you are. But if you try to be, you know, the pirate, if you try to be the gunner, and you try to be the guy who's going to put the team on the back, that if you want the mania, you want Minshew mania to come to town, that ain't going to work good for you. That'll have a little bit of success, but it'll also have a lot of failure. Remember this, you know, intensity impresses, consistency transforms. And I think if you can be consistent, not lose the games, you can transform your career. But if you want to be Minshew mania, you will impress at a moment, but you also falter.
Stepped in and was effective for the Colts under Shane Steichen last year. We'll see what he can do here. Season win total for the Las Vegas Raiders, sitting 6.5 for the longest shot in the AFC West. One of the longest shots in the AFC West. Their first game of the season against the Chargers on the road, getting 3, total 42.5. And if you did bet Gardner Minshew to be the week one starter, -125, don't cash it just yet. We know how injuries can play out. Don't count the chickens before they hatch type of a deal here, but it does look good. Congrats to Gardner on the opportunity. We'll see if he can hold up. Now, you've said it already. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Another team dealing with a quarterback controversy and competition is the Pittsburgh Steelers, as Mike Tomlin steps into the office here, Michael. He's got a decision to make between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Said so far, this evaluation has been a, quote, incomplete study. Nobody's running away with this thing. Now, I'm not going to directly say tell Tomlin who to pick, but how would you advise Tomlin as he goes about making this decision for QB1?
So I think, as you know, Mike, more than I know, because you've done it far more successfully as a head coach than most people have, is this is the time of the year where every single organization asks themselves one simple question. How do we have to play to win? How do we have to play to win is the most important question that anybody can ask themselves currently today. And how that occurs is what's going to lead you to the quarterback. You know, if you want to play a conservative style, not turn the ball over, maybe Russell's your best bet. If you want to play loose free and feel like you got to score 27 to win the game and, you know, give some, take some, maybe you go with Fields. But knowing you, you're going to want the quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over. And you feel like, I'll get my offensive line to play better. There's no question I'll get that. I'll get Jones at right tackle to play at a higher level. You know, I'm going to end up getting, I'll get the rookie back, Fantuna, back in there. And, you know, we won't have to play more. Maybe we'll move more over to right tackle to help Roderick Jones out and get him some rest once we get the rookie in there. But we'll play better in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to run the ball and play a certain style. And unfortunately, the decision really is, do you bring Tannehill in now, knowing that you don't have a quarterback and upset the whole thing and start over, or do you ride it out to the end of the year? And I just knowing you, where we get to at the end of the year, you're as perceptive as anyone that may not be where you want to be.
Bringing up Ryan Tannehill, Michael, that's something I haven't heard anywhere else. People really want to believe that either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson can lead the way for this team. We'll see if that's the truth or not. To your point about the offensive line, Tomlin did address that in his statements after the second preseason game as well, saying they can't be a problem for us. Two of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Another guy who's been having some problems, Michael, to the surprise of nobody on this show, but, you know, I'll be nice here. Daniel Jones, nightmarish first quarter in his first action since tearing his ACL last year. Threw two interceptions the first 13 minutes, including one that was a walk-in touchdown pick six the other way. He's falling. You can't throw that ball up the way he does. Ultimately, that's what happens. It was ugly. He obviously signed a big money contract. The Giants elected to believe and move forward with him instead of Saquon Barkley, who's now a Philadelphia Eagle. What does Jones need to do to prove he deserved this contract, live up to the expectations for him in New York?
Brad Stevens made a comment after the Celtics won the NBA title. Daniel, and he said that he built a team around players that had self-awareness, players that understood what their strengths and what their weaknesses were. And I think that's the conversation you have to have with yourself, because just because they paid you $40 million a year and you're the highest paid player, you can't carry that with you to games. That's what they decided. You deserve all the credit in the world for getting that out of them, for making them pay that, for believing that. But what you have to do now is be self-aware and find out what your strengths are. We know you're very good running the ball. We know you can be very accurate. We know you're very good on first and second down. Play to your strengths. Don't try to do something stupid like you did in the Houston game. You're too smart. You're too experienced. Play within yourself. Don't lose the game. Don't worry about the noise on the outside of the building saying you're not very sexy, not very talented, you don't make enough plays. That's all true. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. But if you put wins on the board, nobody will care. So worry about wins. Don't worry about your numbers. Find a way to play within the framework and make sure that the team understands how do we have to play to win is the most important. So I think that's really the number one thing you have to do. You're carrying so much pressure with you. You could see it the way in your eyes. You want to prove to everybody you're worth $40 million. You want to prove to everybody you can lead the team. You want to prove that John Mara's confidence in you is justified. That's too much to carry on your shoulders. Just worry about playing the game within that gives you the best chance to win.
That's great advice for him, not to worry about numbers. Myself, however, I am a numbers gal. And the number that always stands out to me are, in addition to the stat line that we saw this past year, the fact that he hasn't thrown more than two touchdowns in a game since 2019. That is glaring.
I love that stat.
18-1, by the way, him for comeback player of the year, if that's of interest to any of you. What Michael would call that is a St. Jude's play. Better off donating. Yes. No, I'm not saying that, not going to put the words in your mouth if you feel that way about Daniel Jones. That's how I feel.
That's a St. Jude's play all the way, Stormy. You know how I feel about that. I mean, like,
I just want to speak
there's
for
certain
you.
Things that are not smart, right? There's just certain things. And look, there's nobody who wants to help children more than I do. And, you know, St. Jude's is always just calling my phone because they know I'm a sucker. Not a sucker, but I'll be willing to do it. But why make a stupid play? And I hate this logic. Well, the number was too good. Well, if it can't come true, the number's never good enough.
No.
Like, the number's never good enough if it can't possibly come true. Now, you could say it could, but, you know, that's one in a million, right? That's one in a million.
One of my favorite bets, and I do have it in our VSiN NFL betting guide, which, good to note, we're going to have a refresh after the preseason is over. Our VSiN analysts and experts are going to compile some of their new favorite futures bets, angles on props, different things, as well as updates on all of the injuries around all training camps for these 32 teams. VSiN.com/subscribe. You sign up $175 from now through the Super Bowl. You get the NFL betting guide, the college football betting guide, and everything that we have to offer at VSiN. Under 16 and a half touchdowns. Again, one of my favorite futures bets on Daniel Jones. Last one here real quickly, Michael. J.J. McCarthy suffered a season-ending meniscus tear. He's going to be sitting down this entire season having to watch from behind. How would you advise him to handle this first season?
Well, football's a game of mental as much as it is physical. And you got a chance to spend all the time working on the mental. Take incredible notes. Pat McAfee had Bill Belichick on today. He said no one worked harder as a rookie than Tom Brady. And that's what you have to do. Work, outwork everybody, even though you're not going to play. Brady didn't play as a rookie, but he outworked everybody. Don't tell me the meniscus injury can't keep you from outworking. No, because it can't keep you from studying tape, understanding the offense, learning the calls. Work like tomorrow. Work with enthusiasm unknown to man.
You love it. Love it. Head coach Kevin O'Connell, by the way, did say how much he felt for McCarthy and called him their quarterback of the future. Very telling there, the reaction and how this team feels about the young man. We're going to talk lots of rookies coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, news in Washington. Dan Quinn has made it official. Number 2 overall pick in this year's draft, quarterback Jaden Daniels is officially the QB1 of the Washington Commanders. He said in his press conference availability today, Michael, we knew Jaden would get there. We've been really excited about finding out how he'd get there. Let's hear it straight from him, though. Better from Dan. Take a listen.
He went through the whole thing. He didn't miss a beat. Hit the targets that, you know, we had put in front of him. You know, we talked about the practices against the other teams, the games. So he's ready and he's earned the right to do that. He's really put in the work while being surrounded by some excellent teammates here. And in that case, I wanted to make sure I singled one of them out. In a perfect scenario, a young QB would, you know, have a leader to also learn from. But perfect rarely happens. But we do have that in Marcus Mariota. And him sharing 9 years of gold with Jaden, I think, has been something that's really cool for us to see. Rookie QBs usually don't get that, and we do. And when QB rooms are special, that energy can be felt throughout an entire team, and we have that.
So Quinn likes the support in his quarterback room. The big quote that stood out to me, though, Michael, he's ready and he's earned the right. He's put in the work.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, what Dan's saying is we wanted to give him the job, but we didn't want to just give him the job. Mm-hmm. And he's earned the job. He's come in here and he's become the leader of the team. And what you want is your best player to basically hold up and be the guy that is responsible for, you know, working as hard as anybody can work. And I think that's really what he did. And so I think it's a testament to the kid. Everybody thought he was a good kid coming out. And he took the job and he took the approach to the job as a professional, not as an amateur. Like, he knew they were going to be the starter, but he knew that he needed to be able to prove to his teammates more than anything. Because you have to stand in front of the team. If you're Dan Quinn and if you're Jaden Daniels, you got to stand in front of the team and say, look, I earned this. Mm-hmm. And he did.
He is the second shortest shot on the odds board for Offensive Rookie of the Year, behind only number one overall pick, Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears. Williams plus 135, Jaden Daniels plus 475. So bet 100, you win 475 if Daniels can come through for you. The season win total for the Commanders, 6.5. And the division odds here are what I'm kind of curious your thoughts on their standing in the division, because we've talked a lot about the NFC East is kind of the haves and have-nots the last couple of years. You got the Eagles and Cowboys, and then far, far off, a large separation to the Washington Commanders and New York Giants. When you look at what Dan Quinn is hoping to put together here, this young, potentially thriving rookie quarterback, how far off are they now in this division to you?
Well, I think they're far from Philly. They're far from, because the unknown is the quarterback. We don't know how well he's going to play. If he plays like CJ Stroud, are they good enough on defense? I doubt that, right? Mm. The offensive line.
Sounds like Michael's audio dropped out there a little bit. We'll try to reconnect with him from the back. But I agree. For this Washington Commanders team where we sit right now, we don't ultimately know yet what Jaden Daniels is going to be. In limited action in the preseason, have we liked what we've seen? Absolutely. But when you look at established teams like the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, there is still going to be a significant drop off. The NFC East division odds, where things sit right now, the Eagles an odds on favorite minus 120, Dallas plus 160. And even that has been a significant change, as the Eagles have done a lot this offseason to try to upgrade and bolster their roster, get back to the team that found themselves in a Super Bowl against the Chiefs 2 years ago. The Cowboys, meanwhile, standing pat and trying to figure out a lot of their issues when it comes to the contract negotiations. Now, they did do some things to tweak the offensive line. They're going to have a couple rookies up front there, which I do think is significant, but still contracts to get figured out with Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. We think if there is one to be done, it would be CeeDee Lamb, who's been holding out from training camp here. And Michael has said that repeatedly, including in, by the way, the column that he put out this past week, discussing the idea that Jerry Jones has been saying all offseason that they're going to be all in. Will he actually? I think that we've already learned, whatever way you want to say all in, that's not the case. Unless it is all in on this group of guys and who you have now, and whether or not they're going to be out the door after this season. Mike McCarthy sitting in a lame duck coach situation, his coaching staff. You look at Dak Prescott on the final year of his contract and what's going to happen ultimately at the end of this thing. Will he be a free agent with a no franchise tag clause in his contract and have the ability to go wherever he wants? Now, Dak Prescott did make comments last week saying that he feels like they've been making good progress on his contract, that it could get done sooner rather than later or in the regular season. And it's not something that he's particularly focused on right now. It's just all of us in the media and the betting world that are focused on it. But again, to go back to the Washington Commanders of it all, Jaden Daniels, for anyone who missed it, the official QB1 of the Washington Commanders, something we all expected to have happen. But now it is, coming off his Heisman season there at LSU, a 9-1 shot in the division. Michael, do we have you back? Rumor has it.
Yes, we do. I don't know what happened. Yes, we're back. But I was talking about, they signed, one thing about what Washington has done, it's an interesting approach to team building. They signed a bunch of mid-level free agents, okay? They didn't really overboard pay a lot of money to team. They didn't pay big money. They paid a lot of money to different players, but they're hoping. So what they did was they signed a lot of guys in this 5'8", 5'9", grade range. And they're hoping that three or four of them hit. Like, for example, Jeremy Chinn. They hope he can get back to where he once was. Frankie Louvu, really good player. Can he get back to where he was? They get those two guys to play at a higher level, they're going to become a better defense. And so, you know, with Payne and Allen inside, they got to get Dorrance Armstrong, for the kid they got from Washington, to play well. Look, they're going to play hard. Bobby Wagner, they're going to have good culture and good leadership. They're not going to give away games. They're not going to be stupid with the football. They're not going to try to throw 7,000 passes and get their quarterback killed. And they've got good leadership. So they're going to improve. They're not going to be, they weren't an easy out for Philadelphia in either game they played last year, because they could attack Philly's secondary with these receivers. So we'll see. I think they're a better team than the Giants, actually. Okay. I think they have more talent than the Giants do. They have a better system in place. And I think they have more speed overall. You know, now they need Robinson and Eckler to come through at running back, but I do think they're a better team.
But Michael, and I believe in the unknowns of Jaden Daniels at quarterback a lot more than I believe in the knowns of Daniel Jones at quarterback. So that,
great
for me,
yeah,
that for me puts them a rung above here for the Commanders. Again, yeah. Jaden Daniels, second shortest shot for offensive player of the year, as I mentioned, second shortest shot to be the rookie with the most passing yards at +190. Williams is an odds on number -125. Daniels is also the second shortest shot to have the most rushing yards among rookies at +450. Jonathan Brooks is -120. But how mobile do you think that he's going to be in this offense? Will they be utilizing his legs like they did in college?
Well, I mean, look, he was stormy. He was so good on the move. He was, what they have to do, it isn't about getting him to run. It's what Cliff Kingsbury has to do, is to get him to look. This is more about looking than running. So when he gets out of that pocket, you know, his instincts are to take off and go. What I think he needs to do is what Milrow did at Alabama, which is start to move and keep your eyes down the field to make plays. That's where Bo Nix was so good in college. And if they can get him to do that along with his running, look, he's not going to last with his body type and frame running the football 12, 18 times a game. He's not Josh Allen. But his movement creates problems. It's tough to play man coverage on third down and not spy him, because he's prone to run. And it's going to take a defensive coordinator a little bit of time to adjust to how he plays the game and how they have to rush him a certain way. Usually defensive coordinators, they'll take a little bit of time, especially if they're not familiar with the game. Kid's got great accuracy down the field. I think he sees the field. He throws the ball better on the outside, which really fits Washington receiver skill set. I mean, Zach Ertz is an older player. John Bates, is he going to be good enough? This Ben Sinnott kid they drafted from Kansas State's very good. Mm-hmm. So they have some tight ends in the middle of the field, but their talent is with Dotson and McLaurin on the outside.
Real quickly, because we did have that rookie stat leaders graphic up there, if we want to throw that back up, Michael, were there any names on here that stand out to you as potential sneaky value options here? Jonathan Brooks, again, the favorite, followed by Jaden Daniels, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Braylon Allen, Tyrone Tracy, Bo Nix, even up there at 20-1. Any of those stand out to you?
Blake Corum is, to me, one that stands out to me, because Jonathan Brooks is hurt. Plus, Jonathan Brooks is playing behind Miles Sanders. He's playing behind Chuba Hubbard. He's not better than either one of those guys right now. He may be when his knee comes back. But to me, I think Blake Corum, they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot. And I think if they do that, he can be an effective player. I know they signed J.K. Dobbins, but Dobbins hasn't stayed healthy all the time. There's going to be a split. But I really think, I mean, can Troy Benson run the ball effectively? Look, I think James Conner is the best runner on that team. Why would you give the ball to somebody else? Will they split duty? Sure. James Conner deserves a Medal of Honor for running behind that bad line last year.
So good. Also, just even hearing the name J.K. Dobbins throws like a sword through my chest because of the amount of times that I've drafted this dude in fantasy and just put my running back position up in flames. We're going to hit the break. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line when we come back. Closing out the day strong. You won't want to miss it.